Psalm chapter 133. You know, before you go there, let's go to Ecclesiastes. I have a bunch of verses here. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. Janae gets back in about a week and a half, you said, 2 weeks? Wonderful. Good to see her. Jules graduates on the 13th. Am I right? All right. Now, is she staying there, Mr. Schultz? Yeah, she's staying there. Something about white sandy beaches and no snow. And Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. I've had the privilege to travel a little bit. Got a chance to go to some, usually when we go somewhere, we try and find what is unique and special about that place. A few years ago, we had the opportunity to go to Trinidad, took a missions trip down to Trinidad. We're there down with Brother Brad Barkowski, and he took us, we did a lot of work or ministry, and he took us out for kind of a free day, and he took us up into the, I was going to say up in the mountains, but it was like up and over the mountains, and we came into this place, and it was beautiful. It was right on the ocean. It was kind of like almost a private beach. It wasn't a public beach, and we got down there, and man, it was like a tropical wonderland, and he's like, this is where they filmed Swiss Family Robinson. I said, that makes sense. Like, it was beautiful. I mean, you had the ocean, you had the beach, you had these cliffs, you have the foliage, and just beautiful stuff. Years ago, we had the opportunity to, as a family, drive across the country, and some of the spots we stopped were scenic spots. We stopped at a place called Mesa Verde, which is this plateau that is kind of in the middle of the desert, but it's called Mesa Verde because it's like a table, and on the top is green. So you're in the middle of like almost the desert, and there's this big flat plateau, all green and nice. These caves cut out of the side of it, really just cool. Made our way over to the Grand Canyon. Brother Seatman, have you ever seen the Grand Canyon?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, that's nice, isn't it?
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. They call Letchworth the Grand Canyon of the East. I'm not even sure we're allowed to use those same terms. It is absolutely beautiful. The colors of the rocks. You take a picture and it just does not capture the beauty of that. Outside of our window of our bedroom, I rigged up a bird feeder. I'm old now. I told Brother Sutliff, I said, 45, yep. When I turn 45, it's going to be the year of suspenders.
Amen.
I'm switching. I'm making the jump, and that's next year. We're about 8 months away. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about turning 45. He said 50, I get bibs. I don't know what that is. Yeah, okay, it's comfort. All right. But outside our window there is a little bird feeder, and every morning or in the evening, these beautiful cardinals come and they sit right there, little golden chickadees, and you see them and they're interacting, the colors, and then these big blue jays come and the colors on the back. I just really enjoy looking at them. I like watching them. I'm a person that you don't have to tell to stop and smell the flowers because I do it anyways. When I'm walking through, if we're at Lowe's, I'll just stop and sniff. If it's bad, I'll announce it. If it's nice, I'll let everybody else also know. I'll bring it over to have you smell. I enjoy the creation. I enjoy nature. I enjoy watching God's creation interact and watch all of those things. I like that. I think it's beautiful. If you can, on a summer night, sit out here and watch the sunset and watch the sky change from green or blue to that to that purple and orange and red out here. Man, unbelievably beautiful. We've been in the car on a summer night, quickly trying to get to Lake Hamlin Beach Park to watch the sunset on the water. We'll be driving home from Wegmans, and we're watching that sun, and we're like, we got to get to the water and see that. And so we'll run, well, we'll drive there, and then when we get to Area 5, we run to the beach, and we just watch it. And why do we do that? Because it's beautiful. And sunrises are a lot harder to get up for. And you'll be driving along, and you see cars pulled off to the side when there's a double rainbow or a beautiful. Why is that? Because it's beautiful. God's creation is beautiful. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and verse 11, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Now we know here that there's a bunch of things that happen in time, but God says what He touches is beautiful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. God, thank You for the beauty that You create. God, without You, there would be none. Lord, again, we give You all the honor and glory that You would allow us to enjoy that. Lord, I feel like so many of these things were not only created for Your pleasure, but for ours also. Lord, thank You for those things. We love You. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Job chapter number 12. God has created some beautiful things. Job chapter number 12. In verse 10. Bible says this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? That's God. In whose hand is that? Is the soul of every living thing? We have these, we have a very tall ladder at our house. It's a 40-foot ladder broken down into two 20-foot sections. And for some reason this year, a robin decided that's going to be where we make our nest. And so over the last 2.5 weeks, we have watched, have you named her? What? I'm sorry? Amy. All right. I think she just made that up just now. No, it was? Alfred. Okay. So we have the robin. We'll just go with the robin. And there she was making a nest, and all of a sudden, two eggs showed up, and man, robin's eggs, so beautiful and blue. And they're right at, so when you walk into our woodshed, you just look in this little nest, and there they are. And then a third egg showed up, and a fourth egg, and then a little bird, another little bird. We got three little birds and one egg left. And we go in and we watch them, and she sits on there, and she governs that. And man, we have really enjoyed what God has done naturally. We go and we're excited about it. We were nervous a little bit. She was gone for a couple days, or what we didn't see. And sure enough, she came back. We did wood one day, and she made her nest on the side of the woodshed. Sorry, I had things to do, and but she came back. But we enjoy that. There they are. They got the their eyes are all covered up, and those blue little man. We enjoy. What does it say? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing? I walk up to it, and the robin flies off, sits on the branch right off to the side, and is yelling at me. Robins don't have the prettiest song. But man, it is awesome to watch. Psalm chapter number 8. Things that are beautiful, number one, creation and nature. Psalm chapter number 8. Look at verse 3. It says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 6. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever pass it through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And there those things are, just how they all are, and sheep and oxen and birds and the stars and the moon. And it says, let us consider the heavens, the moon and the stars, that we look up and just go, wow, that's, yeah. On a warm summer night, you sit out there. There's about 2 or 3 days a year at night, from the hours of, I think it's like midnight to like 4 a.m., more towards the morning hours, there's a meteor shower. And if it's clear out on a summer, it's usually in August, I think, and you sit up there and you kind of prop yourself back and you just kind of get as big of a view of the sky as you can, and what do you see? All of a sudden a shooting star, well, what I can call a shooting star, it's a meteor shower, but still, pretty awesome. And you watch that, and there you are. You're maybe sitting with friends or family, and you point, did you see it? Did you see it? Yeah, I saw that one. Oh, everyone, that was a good one. Unless you sleep through, and then maybe you miss it. But how beautiful are those things? How beautiful is that? I love on a night when the moon is so bright, it's almost like, can you turn that down a little bit? A moon casts a shadow. Man, that's awesome. Psalm 95. I understand that this is a cursed world. I get it. But even a cursed world has some beauty in it. The Bible says in Psalm 95 in verse 4, it says, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Again, I like where the warm land meets the warm water. Those are nice transitions. And you stand there. I think it was Brother Rodell last Sunday. Did you hit the beach?
Oh, yeah.
How was that?
Cooler by the lakeside.
Yeah, slightly. Slightly. It was what? We had about 75, 80 degrees here. What was the water temp there?
Freezing.
Freezing. And I like where it's warm, where they meet. And you get out there and I didn't realize this. I remember the first time Jay and I, we were in Pensacola there, and the only water I'd ever seen was, that I remember, was Lake Ontario. And we got down to Pensacola, and you could see the ground in through the water. Not used to that. I live on Lake Ontario. And man, that was pretty awesome. And then you go out there and you wait out there, and since then we've had some multiple opportunities to just see how beautiful that is. This past summer, we were in North Carolina, and there we were driving. We were driving in a Humvee with a stadium seating back in it down the ocean, down the beach with the ocean on our right, and we were driving to go see wild horses. As we're driving to go see wild horses, just hanging out down there, dolphins are jumping through the water on this side. Man, just so cool. And the guy's talking to us about horses, but no one's listening to the guy talking about horses because there's dolphins jumping out in the ocean. Beautiful stuff. Just beautiful stuff. Hey, if you don't appreciate God's creation, I don't know if you're just not looking or what it is, but it is beautiful how it all works together. You don't have to go to a place like Outer Banks, North Carolina. You can enjoy the handiwork that he makes right in your backyard and enjoy that. There is beauty in God's creation and nature. But God made something else too, Revelation chapter number 21. Verse 11, it says this, having the glory of God and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Had a wall great and high and had 12 gates. We're getting a description of New Jerusalem. This is what we as Christians will call heaven. Had a wall great and high and had 12 gates, and the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed, the measure of the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the length lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it were equal. And he measured the wall thereof and 140 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was as jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. I've never seen anything like that before. I've never seen gold so pure that it's like glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysophosaurus, sounds like a dinosaur, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. Can we just get a view of that for a second? Say, what does that look like? I don't know. But there's a square, really big city sitting on top of a thing that has 12 layers of foundation, each made with precious stones. That sounds beautiful. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one of a pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Look at this, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, moon to shine, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Heaven, the gold, the stones, and even better, there's no RG&E, National Grid. God Himself is the light. And His glory is what lights the place all up. Say, how does light, Pat, I'll let you know when I see it. But it's all clear. And that light just bounces around there. And God has His hand in creation, and it's beautiful. God created heaven, and it's beautiful. Romans chapter number 10. Verse 15, the Bible says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, we're just talking about heaven. See, that sounds amazing. How do I get there? Well, you just live a good life and at the end it all works out in the end. No, that's not how you do it. It's through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection is what pays for your way to go. All is required of you is faith. And the Bible says those that take that message throughout all the world and to those that have never heard, He uses almost the same description as His nature, as heaven, beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. I dare say that true beauty is a touch of God. It is creation. It is the formation of heaven itself. It is the carrying of the gospel. The most beautiful things that we have ever experienced or will ever experience are the works of God Himself. Creation, heaven. Man, I think it's interesting that He calls those that take the gospel beautiful. Psalm 133. draw your attention to one more thing. Psalm 133 in verse 1, the Bible says, we're going to read the entire Psalm 133. Actually, we'll just read the first two verses. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head and that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. I want to express to you tonight this thought, that there is beauty in unity. The Bible says this in Psalm 133 and verse 1. We're just going to take this verse apart for the remainder of the service. He says this, behold. This is an invitation. This is, hey, come check this out. Look what we got over here. The kids by now know at the house, if I call to them and say, hey, come look at this, they're running. They're stopping what they're doing because they're about to see something neat. The other day, I was just looking out the back window and just off the tree line there, right in the woods, a dog was going crazy. His hair was standing up. And what was right there? I don't think it was brown. It was like an orange fox. And man, it was just neat. It was just frolicking, you know, just having a good time. Hey, come here. I think I called Sophie. Was it Sophie? And or maybe, I don't know. And it was you? Okay. And there we were. Hey, come check this out. Hudson and I are bird buddies. And he'll call me, Dad, there's a, you know, a nut hatch, right? We like the nut hatch. They're cute. And we have our favorites. And so we'll call to each other, Dad, Hud, come here, check this out. There's a golden finch, both of them, the boy and girl. It's cool. An invitation to come see something. Behold, God is inviting us to see something. Look at Psalm 34. Hold your hand in Psalm 133. Psalm 34. If you've never experienced the unity that is about the body of Christ, you're missing out on something. You're missing out on something that's good and pleasant and beautiful. Psalm 34, it says this in verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." What is that? That's another invitation. Hey, if you've never tasted and saw just how good God is in your life, if you can't go back and say, God was real to me, I know He personally spoke to me, you've never put your faith and trust in Him. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Trusteth in Him. What is that? That's an invitation. Come and just see how good God is. Do you have a life that you could invite someone to come see that? Hey, why don't you come see my life and just see how miserable I am? No. Hey, why don't you come here? Why don't you see the total wreck I've made? No, what do we do? Hey, come here. I want to just show you God's mercy and God's grace. Come taste this. Come see this. Behold, he says. Behold, I want you to see something. Sometimes we get confused at what is really valuable. We put a lot of effort into things that just don't mean much. In Psalm 133, again, it says, behold. What is this? This is an invitation to man to see something beautiful. An invitation to come to the window to see his nature. No, this is an invitation to come see God work amongst his people. And it's beautiful. Behold, he says, an invitation to come and see. How good. Behold how good. For there to be unity, there has to be a prerequisite. And the prerequisite to goodness is this. Look at Psalm 1, John chapter 13. John chapter number 13. Nate, are you there? Can you read verse 35?
By this
You know what that is? That's good. What makes unity good? This right here. Love for one another. Ever been around people and it's a miserable time? Here. When wasn't there love? Ever been around people and it's been nothing but critical, sharp, condescending? Oh man, that was a good time. No, it wasn't, because there was no love. What is the testimony of goodness? How good, what is it? There was an interaction between one another, and that interaction was love. He says that's what's going to mark the difference between you. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2, look at verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Hey, if our time together is going to be good, I'll tell you what has to be there. Love. How many of you have flaws? Any flaws here? Sure. Jay? I didn't see your hand go up. Oh, okay, there you are. She was like this. Where's Maya? Is Maya back there? Oh, Maya. Oh, sorry. Hey, Maya. We all have flaws. We know we have flaws. What is love? Love is a care for one another in spite of our flaws. You know what that brings about? Unity. Goodness. Beauty. The ability to be around one another as sinners and have unity. Only God can do something like that. Only God can do something like that and make it good.
Yes, sir.
There's got to be love. The Bible tells us, look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, it says this. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Hey, what makes the time with one another good? Love in the presence of God. There's a bond there that there's going to be a unity that is beautiful when there's love and where the Lord is. Love and where the Lord is makes that time together good. I think our ladies experienced a little bit of that over the weekend. A love for one another, a love for the Lord. Lord showed up. It was a time of unity, and from everyone I talked to, it was good. Bible says, behold how good and pleasant. The prerequisite is goodness. The result of love, the result of the Lord being there is a pleasantness. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. In verse 11. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Father and brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the love, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. That sounds pleasant. Be of a one mind. What is that mind? The mind of Christ. Putting ourselves under the authority of the scriptures as God leads us into how we should behave and how we should think. And yes, he doesn't rewrite our personalities, but he unifies us under the teaching of the Word of God. And in that there is peace. And what does that peace make it? It makes it pleasant. A place of peace is pleasant. A place of war is unpleasant. No one wants to be where there's battles and fights. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 12, it says this. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And the Bible says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. The Bible says this, and be ye thankful. That sounds pleasant, doesn't it? Peace, one body, thankfulness. That's the result of God being in a place where love is. The bond of, the perfect bond of unity and love. That makes unity beautiful. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 28. The Bible tells me this, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. As we're brethren, you know what? We're all, again, Pastor Huber used to say this all the time, it is level at the cross. Took away all class, took away all who's this or who's that. We're all just believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says it right there. Neither Jew nor Greek anymore. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Brethren, level at the cross. We are believers. And that is where the unity has its source, through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show you one last thought here. Go back to Psalm chapter 133. I just want to express to you how beautiful it is when the brethren work together and dwell together in unity. The Bible says this last phrase, and I thought it was interesting. You know, often we quote Psalm 133 in verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." But verse 2, it gives us a little description. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. Precious ointment, what did that do? That had a sweet smell into that. It affected those that are around it. I think Brother Naparella in his adversity to over-scented. But here, this is something that pleases God. He says it's like a precious ointment. But ointment also not only is pleasurable to the senses, but it is also healing. It's amazing to me when a group of Christians serve the Lord with the right heart and the right motive side by side. All of a sudden, things that were a problem no longer are a problem. Or maybe someone comes in and they're just hurting in their heart. It's amazing when you serve somebody else or serve the Lord together, how that is like that precious ointment. It just heals some brokenness. Hey, one of the best ways to get over maybe hurt or heartache or bitterness is to come alongside the brethren in unity and serve the Lord. The Bible says it's good and it's pleasant. And the devil will convince you this. Hey, when you're hurt, when you're broken, you just need to stay away. You just get away from everybody. You just need to go and wallow in your self-pity. That's the worst thing you could do. Because the Bible says it's like precious ointment upon your head. Hey, there's going to be some sweetness that's just going to rub off on you, but there's also going to be a healing for you. Get discouraged. I don't know. I think God's done with me. I don't think He can use me anymore. And all of a sudden you show up at a thing and you get involved in something, and all of a sudden you realize God does have a plan for me. A renewed purpose. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. Look at how much there is that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. Well, that's a lot. Some of us need a good old dose of precious ointment, some healing and some help. And I get a cut or anything like that, I run right to the triple antibiotic. I don't even mess around. I love that stuff. Scarless, heals faster. That's what we need. Hey, I'm not saying we're without hurt. I'm saying get some precious ointment. What is that precious ointment? It's the fellowship around the goodness and the pleasantness of the unity of the brethren. That's the precious ointment. Ephesians chapter number 4. Almost done. Here we are. Lather it up. There you go. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says, that you put off concerning the former conversation in the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And look what it says. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what we need. A renewal. I was looking up. I have to admit something. I am a graphic thief. Say, what does that mean? When I create little handouts and things like that, I find someone that did a great job on it, and I just, Apple is great for just cutting and pasting. And I was looking up ladies' conferences because I wanted something that pretty that said ladies' conference. I'll tell you, 50% of ladies' conferences are named renewal. A renewal conference. I don't know. Maybe we're missing out on something. I don't know. But what is it? Why is such the focus on renewal of the spirit? Because sometimes people get broken and hurt. That's part of life. That's even part of the Christian life. So how do I get that precious ointment? Being around the brethren. With love. With care one for another. The Bible says it's good. It's pleasant. It's like that precious ointment. Right across the page of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. The Bible says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Endeavoring. You know what that is? That's on you. God put all the pieces in place, but it is a decision, it is a commitment on your part. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Hey, this isn't just for ladies, this is for the guys too. Are you working at keeping unity? 1 Peter chapter number 3, last verse tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 8. It says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railings, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are the thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Having compassion one of another, not rendering... These are the things we need to be committed to. Of one mind. Unity. Knowing that ye are thereunto called. It's a commitment. It's a decision. Hey, I'm going to dwell together in unity. I'm going to make it good. And I'm going to make it pleasant. Even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to fellowship with the brethren. Why? Because it might be healing to somebody else. It might be healing to me that I didn't even know. Behold. So I have not tasted something like that before. Well, I invite you to come. Come be part of something. Walker Bible Baptist Church is not the perfect church. No such thing. We have flaws. Why do we have flaws? Because we have people. I don't know. The building itself is somewhat flawed. Don't look too close, right? I mean, if we start looking around. But I invite you. I think when God's work in creation is beautiful. God's work in heaven is beautiful. It's beautiful when they carry the gospel of peace. And I think it's beautiful when God can take a bunch of people and bring them together in unity. It's good and it's pleasant. Let's all stand. But it takes a commitment. It takes a commitment. I just invite you in your own heart, endeavoring to keep the unity. Hey, can you work at keeping a bond of peace? A commitment to that. It's a decision. And it's going to take us all to do that. I really appreciate all the hands that went into this last weekend. Not just for the ladies, but the guys got a blessing too. I'll just let you know. Say, how so? Because ladies, when you get a blessing, we get a blessing. When you're encouraged, we're encouraged. It strengthened our church. And I'm thankful for that. Say, I had no part in it. All I did was show up. You were part of it. Just you being here is an important part. Say, I'm hurt. My heart hurts. I invite you to stick around. There's a precious ointment that's available through the unity of the brethren. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the good weekend that we've had.